Today's shiur is Masechta Megillah Daf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Chav Hey Amud Beis at the beginning of the new parak. The previous parak had discussed the halachas of Kriyas HaTaira, where we could read the Megillah, the Taira, the Megillah, etc. But of course, obviously, Kriyas HaTaira takes place in a Beis HaKnesses, in a shul. So our Mishnah begins to discuss, as our parak will discuss, the Kedusha, the sanctity of a Beis HaKnesses, and under what circumstances a Beis HaKnesses can be sold, by whom, and to who. Teaches us the Mishnah, B'nai Eir Shemakru Chava Shalir, if the people of the city sold the town square, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the town square was sometimes used for tefillah, and therefore it has a level of Kedusha. In introducing and understanding our Mishnah and our Gemara that we will learn with Hashem today, we have to understand that there is a difference who sells what under what circumstances. Meaning, our Mishnah is discussing the situation where the various items listed in the Mishnah are sold either by the town people, but in every town there were the city, the people of the community, and the Zayin Tuvei Ir, the seven people who were the committee, they were the board of directors. And as we will learn in the Shem and the Gemara, when something is sold, the Zayin Tuvei Ir, by the seven committee members, the Maimon Anshei Ir, with the consent of the entire city, there the halacha is that anything can be sold for any purpose, and the money obtained through that sale can be used for any purpose. Our Mishnah, however, is discussing where the items listed were either sold by the Zayin Tuvei'ir, by the board of directors, Shloi B'maimer Anshi'ir, without the consent of the people of the city, or vice versa, was sold B'maimer Anshi'ir, by the consent of the people of the city, but without the Zayin Tuvei'ir, without the consent of this board of directors. There, the Mishnah will teach us, the halach is that the sale can be considered valid, however, it only, the proceeds realized from that sale could only be used for a higher level of Kedusha than what the item was originally used for. There's a machloikus rishonim, which will really be relevant with all we will discuss in tomorrow's shir, if it could use for something with equal Kedusha, but our Mishnah is teaching us it could only be used for something with a higher level of Kedusha because of the concept that we've discussed many times, Malim B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridin, we could only go up in Kedusha, not go down, and therefore the proceeds should be used only for a higher level of Kedusha. There's a Machloikis HaRishonim in understanding this Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Shemachru, that they sold these items, is our Mishnah discussing that this may be done L'chatchila, or is it only acceptable B'diyevit? The HaRishonim, the Rajba, who says that our Mishnah is teaching us that even l'chatchila such a sale may take place, provided that the people use it for a higher level Kedusha. Why does the Mishnah use a lashon of Shemachru, which would seem to indicate that it's only acceptable with the Yavid? So as the Rashi, because if the Mishnah would use a lashon of ne'odam meichrim, that you're allowed to sell, one would erroneously think that l'chatchila you're allowed to sell. And that's, of course, that's a mitzvah to sell. And it's not a mitzvah to sell, it's only l'chatchila, this is that din. However, there are other, rishonim that say that it's only b'di'eved permissible to sell these items. L'chatchila, davish shebikedusha, it should always remain for its original kedusha. As we speak about Malam B'Kodesh V'loi Meridin, there's a machloikis hachroinim. What is this concept of Malam B'Kodesh V'loi Meridin midaraisa or midarabonon? Some say that the sources that we will learn seem to indicate it's daraisa. Some indicate that it's only midarabonon. I saw an interesting approach advocated by Rabbi Yosef Engel and the Asman Daraisa, he wants to say there's a nafkamina between something which has an inherent kedusha, like a Sefer Torah, which we're going to discuss later in the Mishnah, versus other items that don't have an inherent kedusha, they're only used for kedusha, like mitpachos. We're going to learn items that are used to cover a Sefer Torah. There, the concept of Malam Kosh for Lemuridin is only midrabbanan. Another approach some Rishonim want to suggest in our Mishnah is our Mishnah speaking about a situation which is l'chatchilo b'diyeved, is all the items listed in the Mishnah, we have what to go up. For example, the rechava that we're just discussing could be sold loichem adam with the basic knesses. We could buy a shoe with the proceeds, and we go further. However, a Sefer Torah, as we will learn later in the Mishnah, we don't really have what to do, and that's where there's a difference between l'chatchil and b'diyevet. Something that could have a concept of mal b'kodesh applied to it, there l'chatchil may be sold. Something where we don't have where to take the money to a higher level, there we don't say that l'chatchil may be sold. So, b'nei ir shemach ruchava shalir, the people of the city sold the town square, like Madame Beis Knesses, they could buy with the money, the proceeds of Beis Knesses. Beis Knesses, if they sell a shul, like in Teva, they could buy a Teva. The Shulchan Aruch says that if there is only one shul in a city, that shul may not be sold under any circumstances. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there's more than one shul in the city. There, if the shul is sold, loich and teva, we could buy a teva. So, number of shittas, what a teva is. Many Rishonim explain a teva to mean the Aron HaKodesh, where the Sefer Torah kept. Others explain that the teva refers to the bima, on which the Sefer Torah is read. And yet others explain that they used to have a large Aron, in which they kept all the Sefer Torah. And then they had smaller aronis, which they used in smaller rooms for minyanim, and they kept only one Sefer Torah in that Oren. That's what's meant by the Teva. If you could sell the shul to buy a Teva, you could sell loichim et pachos, they could buy what to wrap the Sefer Torah in. Mit pachos, if they sell the wrappings, they could buy svarim, nevi'im, and ksuvim. Many Rishonim say from here we seem to understand that we could use that Nevi'im and Ksuvim are equal in stature. Svarim, if one sells Svarim, Lechem Torah, they could buy with it a Sefer Torah. The Rosh writes in the Tshuva that if we're learning in our Mishnah that a basic Knesses can be sold to buy Svarim or to buy a Sefer Torah, so he says certainly it may be sold to support Moisdois, where Torah is learned, or to support those that sit and learn Torah, because they certainly are even more significant than the Torah, than the Sefer Torah or the Nevi'im themselves. Aval in Machu Torah, if they sold a Sefer Torah, La Yichus Farim, they're not allowed to take the money to a lower level to buy with the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Svarim, if they sold Nevi'im and Ksuvim, La Yichum and Pachas, they cannot use the money to buy the wrappings for the Sefer Torah. But Pachas, La Yichu Teva, Teva, La Yichu Beis HaKnesses. Teva, La Yichu, Mipachas, La Yichu Teva, Teva, La Yichu Esra Chayv. If they should never go down, they should only go up. The chain, continues the Mishnah, is the halacha of Meisrayim with the leftovers. So the way the Meiri explains is that let's say they sold something, a higher level of Kedusha. They sold Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So most of the money that they realized from that sale, they used to buy something of a higher level Kedusha. But there's some money, a small portion of the money realized left over. Teaches us, the Mishnah says, the Meiri, that not one cent realized from that sale can be used for anything of a lower level of Kedusha. The Sfas Emes explains the din of Kehem Misraim this way. He explains that let's say they sold the item for more than it's worth. Again, our example where the Nevi'im and Ksuvim were sold, and they were sold for more than their value. So I would think since they realized more than that they should have, that extra to be used for any purpose, teaches us, the Mishnah says, the Sfas Emes, that even the part of money that they receive for more than what the item is worth may not be used to buy, may not be used to buy anything of a lower level kedusha. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah taught us, Bnei Ir Shemachu Ruchav Shalih, if they sold the town square, Amar Rabbi B'chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who is the man, the Omer, that holds that the town square has Kedusha? Zu Divar Rav Nachman Bar Yosi Sosa. This, the Shita Rav Nachman Bar Yosi, is called Sosa, because we have many Stam Mishnayis that are according to him. Avacham Raimrim, the Chama hold, HaRachayiv, Eimai Mishim Kedusha, the town square doesn't have any Kedusha in it. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi Mai Tamai, why does he hold that the town square does have Kedusha? Says the Gemara, Hoyl Va'am Ispalimboy, but Taneis Umamodos. Since people used to daven there on Taneisim and Mamodos, it has a level of Kedusha. So the way that we're trying to explain, we learned the Gemara Masech, the Tainis, that if there's a drought or any other tzaras affecting Klal Yisrael, first they would fast and daven in the shuls. And if that didn't work, they would then go daven in the town square. As the Gemara, the Tainus taught us, this, we first davened b'tzina. We embarrassed ourselves and begged in tzina and it didn't work. Now we'll have to go b'feresia into the public. So that's why the town square has Kedusha. Mamodos, as we've learned so many times, where every day the Karban Tamid was brought, and the Karban Tamid was brought from the funds that were donated by all of Klal Yisrael. And when somebody brings a Karban, he has to be there when his Karban is being brought. So since all of Klal Yisrael were participants, they had mamadois, people who would daven fast 4 days of the week. And the Gemara says here that they would daven in the town square. Taisus Masech Tainus takes issue with this. He says we don't find anywhere in the Gemara that the mamadois, they davened in the town square. That's why he takes out mamodos. Other Rishonim explain that what the Gemara here means by mamodos is not the mamodos of the Kabonos. Rather, mamodos means, we discussed it recently, when they used to have a Levi, they used to have a Moshev, a Maimed, they used to take the Nifter and stop 7 times until they got to the Beis HaKfaris, and that took place in the town square. And that's why Rabbi Nachman Bar Yosi holds that the town square has Kedusha. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan hold, Hahua Kroi Ba'alma. It wasn't a place that was designated for tefillah, it was only occasionally used, and therefore it doesn't have a Kedusha. However, says the Ritva, that even the Rabbanan will agree that since the town square is at times used for tefillah, says the Ritva, even the Rabbanan will agree that we should not use for the town square for any degrading use. Interesting to note, the Meram Shik discusses, let's say there's a place that when, let's say there's a shul, that has a shul, Baruch Hashem, where they daven. They have a catering hall, and in the catering hall, they don't daven. Only under certain specific circumstances where there's a very large crowd in the shul or something like that, they daven in the catering hall. Will the catering hall have the status of a Beis HaKnesses? Says the Meram Shik, based on our Gemara, since it's only a Kroi Ba'alma, it's not somewhere that they daven all the time, it's not considered having the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses. So we learned in the Mishnah, Beis HaKnesses, if they sell the Beis HaKnesses, like a teva, they could buy within a teva. Amar Rav Shmuel Nachmeni Amar Yonason, Loi Shana El Beis HaKnesses Shal Kfarim. This din is only referring to the Beis HaKnesses of the villages. Ava Beis HaKnesses Shal Krochim, the Beis HaKnesses of the towns, Kivin the Ma'alma Osolo, since people come from all over the world here, Loi Motzim Azamni Lei, they may not be sold. The Havad of the Rabbim, they belong to the Rabbim, and they can't just be sold by the people of the town. So Tosfos gives 2 explanations in understanding this Gemara. One explanation Tosfos gives is that since people from all over the world frequent this area and they participate in the financially in the building of the shul, So they are also considered owners of the shul, and therefore the shul cannot be sold just based on what the townspeople are saying. Another Pshat Taisva says, since the shul is built for the purpose for everybody that's going to use it, and it's not only the people of the town that use the shul, they're not the only people that come here, the people from all over that use the shul, therefore the shul cannot be sold. And as the Mefarshim explained, there are a number of nafkaminas between these two approaches that Tosfos teaches us. Let's say we'll know for sure that all of the money used to build the shul was only from people of the city. Then, according to an explanation that people from outside the city participated, that's not the case here. Or, what will be the halacha if there's more than one shul in the town? If the reason is because people from outside the town participated, so it makes no difference how many shuls there are in the town. People from outside the town participated. But if the thing is because we want to have a place where people who come from all over the world could daven, so then it makes no difference what you call they have where to daven. Another nafkamina the Mefarshim give is what's going to be regarding a mikveh. If it's because a place that's designated for davening for everyone, or a place that's designated to be used for everyone, is more kadosh and may not be sold, that perhaps is only by basic knesses, not by anything else. But if the thing is because people, other people participated, so makes no difference why other people, makes no difference, it's only since they participated, it's considered that they're owners and we may not sell it without their consent. Tori Eben points out that even according to Rav Nachman ben Yossi, who says the Rechava does have in it a level of Kedusha, he will agree that this distinction that our Gemara just drew between the shul of a village versus a shul of a city will not apply by the Rechava. We don't go that far. Amar of Ashi, Hai Bei Knishta the Masa Mechasya, this shul that was a Masa Mechasya, Avagad the Ma'ama Osalei, even though it's a city that many people from outside come to the city, Kivan that data the dikasu, they're coming only because of me, they come to learn by Rav Ashi, Ibi'ina Mezavninalei, if I want, I may sell it. Since even though they may have participated, whatever pshat we learn in Taisus, or because they come, the whole shul is there because of me. However, the B'er Halacha says that even though the shul was built because of Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi, the Gemara is teaching us, could sell it without their consent, he certainly should not sell it without the consent of the people of the town of Masa Mechasi, the town where the shul actually is. He just doesn't have to get consent from anyone else. Interesting to note, the Shar Metzion Ba'alocha points out what will be the halacha regarding shuls that are built for specific rabbonim or by specific rabbonim for their own communities. Says the Shar Metzion Ba'alocha, he brings down many paiskim, including the Shal Sechuvas Divrei Chaim, Shal Sechuvas Minchas Elazar, and that those shuls are under the total control of the Rav who built the shul or for whom the shul was built, and he could sell it without anyone else's consent. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Meisvei Beis HaKnesses Shel Tursayim. There was a story with the shul of the copper refiners, Shai B'Shalayim Shemachru L'Rebelezer, that they sold their shul to Rebelezer, V'Asuvah Kol Tzrochav, and then he did whatever he wanted in that shul. Asked the Gemara for a hasam the krochem havel. The shul was in Yerushalayim, so certainly it's a town that people come from the whole world. And yet we see that the shul is allowed to be sold. Answers the Gemara, Ha'u beknish the zuti havel. That was a small shul. Vinu avdu that the copper refiners made for themselves. As the Mefarshim explained, since the copper refiners did not always have the best odor because of the work that they did with copper, so that other people did not want to daven together with them, so they made themselves their own private shul for their needs, and therefore it's not considered a shul for the whole world. Meisvei, the pasuk that discusses the halacha of tsaras that applies to houses, so the pasuk says v'beis eretz achuzaschem, teaches us the tanikama achuzaschem etamim in the goyim. All the houses in the various cities around Etz Yisrael to obtain Tumas Negoim, the Ein Yerushalayim Matam B'Negoim, but not houses in Yerushalayim. Arav Yehuda, Yehuda said, Ani lo shamati el maklum kodesh bilvad, el maklum migdash bilvad. The only place that's exempt from Tumas Saras is the Beis HaMikdash. Ha, so we see a coin from Yehuda, Batim Knesiyas and Batim Midrashas, the various shuls in Yerushalayim, Metamim, will become Tameh. Ask the Gemara, Amai, why are they susceptible to this Tumah? Had the Krachim have it? These are shuls in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is certainly a city that people from the whole world come to. So the shuls in those cities don't belong to any individual. The shuls in Yerushalayim don't belong to any individual. Rather, they belong to the whole world. The Torah tells us, Achuzaschem, your inheritance is susceptible to this Tumah. Not something that belongs to everyone. So why will Rabbi Yehuda hold that these shuls are susceptible to Tumas Tzaras? Amen, answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't only mean the Makam Migdash, only the base of Migdash. Amr Yehuda, Niloy Shemati, El Makam Mekodesh Bovad. That any city, any shul in Yerushalayim is not susceptible to Tumah, because it's not considered anyone's specific private dwelling place. Or ownership, a thing that he owns. Ask the Gemara, but they are certainly disagreeing about houses in Yerushalayim. What is the Machlaikas? Tanaka Mesova, Lenishchak Yerushalayim Shvatim. Yerushalayim was not divided amongst the Shvatim, so it's not considered anyone's private property. Yehuda Sova, Nishchak Yerushalayim Shvatim, it was divided, as we'll see, to Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, and therefore it's considered people's own inheritance, susceptible to Tumah. Explains the Chazon Ish. We can't be disagreeing over what happened. The Chazon Ish says, certainly when Klal Yisrael came to Yisrael in the time of Yeshua, Yerushalayim, which was not yet designated at the place where Beis HaMikdash will be, was divided up between Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin. What the machlokes between Tanna Kamma and Yehuda is, says the Chazon Ish, is after Yerushalayim was designated as the holy city, what is now the status of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda holds, it still retains the status that it's the Achuza of Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin. The Tanna Kamma holds that that designation of Yerushalayim as the holy city reversed the original Chalukah, the original division amongst between Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, and it's not considered anyone's specific inheritance. Or Plukten Ani Tanoi, which we actually already find a similar machloikus. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Ma hayu b'chelka shel Yehuda, what part of the makam of the Har HaBayis belonged to Shevet Yehuda? So we'll see that it's everything to the west. Har HaBayis, the actual Temple Mount, the Lishkois, those are the chambers. There was a soirig that encompassed the entire Azara, which was a 10 amos away from the wall of the Azara. And in that area, that 10 amos was called the Chil, and they had different chambers in the Chil. The Azaros, the three Azaros, Dezras Noshim, Dezras Yisraelim, and Dezras Kahanim, these were all in Yehuda's Chelet, all on the west side. What was on the side of Binyamin, which was on the east? The Ulam, the Heichel, and the base Kotcha Kotchin. Says the Braisa, V'rtzua ha'isi yoytis mechelkel she Yehuda, there was a strip that went from Yehuda's side on the west side, v'nechneses mechelkel she Binyamin, went into Binyamin's portion, uba mizbeich boni, and in that spot the mizbeich was built. So as Rashi and Rishonim explain, most of the mizbeich was actually built in Binyamin's portion. There was a small strip on the east, southeast side of the Mizbeach, which was part of Yehuda's territory. And in fact, the way to tell the difference, the Rishonim explained, is there was no Yesoid, there was no foundation to the Mizbeach Achitzin built on that area that belonged to Yehuda. And Binyamin was upset, he wanted to swallow up this part. He was upset that he did not get the entire Makam HaMikdash. Shenamar, Chayfuf Olav Kol Hayoyim. Chayfuf means he scratches himself, he agonizes. He can't be comfortable knowing that he doesn't have this entire area. Lefikach zocha Binyamin, and because Binyamin was so anxious to have the Makom HaMikdash in his territory, zocha Binyamin nasan shebizrichin l'mshchina, he became the host for the Shechina, the Aron and the Kodesh HaKadoshim are in his portion. Ask the Mashah. Obviously, Binyamin saw b'nevuah that all of the Beis HaMikdash will be in his territory. So if he saw it's all going to be in his territory, what's he upset about? What's he agonizing over? He knows already what's going to be. So one pshat offered is that not only was the Beis HaMikdash in Binyamin's chelek, but even Noiv and Givoyim and Shiloh, which we discussed earlier, were the places where the Mishkan was in Eretz Yisrael prior to the Beis HaMikdash being built, were all in the Shevet Binyamin territory, because Binyamin so much wanted the Beis HaMikdash in his territory. Another pshat is, Binyamin saw that the Beis HaMikdash was built in his territory, but he didn't know that the Aron would be in that area. He was zeichet that the Aron should be in his area because he so much wanted the Makom HaMikdash in his area. Ben Yoyada says another pshat. Ben Yoyada says that Binyamin knew that the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Aron and Beis HaMikdash Rishon would be in his territory. But he didn't know what would be by the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. And what would be in Mitzvah Shem by the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi. Tells him HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you were so anxious to have the Makom Kadosh in your territory, in all the Batei Mikdash that were, and the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi that will soon in Mitzvah Shem be, the Aron, the Kodesh HaKadoshim will be in your territory. Why was Binyamin zoicha to such a gewaldige bracha? So Farshim explained, because Binyamin was the one that spent the most time with his father, so since he excelled in the mitzvah kibbutz of the aim, this was his schar. Another pshat that the Meshech Chachma says is because Binyamin was the only shevet who did not participate in the mechira of Yosef. Now he explains that every year Yom Kippur comes, and one of the things that we need to have a kapara for is for the Aveira that the Shvatim sold Yosef. As we see that Aveira, the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaya explained that this Aveira remains with Klal Yisrael for all generations. When we say the Piyut at Musaf on Yom Kippur about the Asara Ruge Malchus, we say that they were killed because of the Aveira of the selling of Yosef. On Yom Kippur, when we're going into the Beis HaMikdash to have a kapara for this Aveira, and we're going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim where the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah Yom Kippur, it has to be Shevet Binyamin. All the other Shvatim are disqualified because they participated in the selling of Yosef. The Mefarshim ask that this Midah that Binyamin seems to be showing of Kinnah, of being jealous that something is not in his territory, is an inappropriate Midah. How does Binyamin have it? So the Mefarshim say a very interesting pshat. The pasuk says regarding Shevet Binyamin, Ula Binyamin Amar, regarding Binyamin, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, Yedid Hashem Yishkoin Levetach Olav. He lies Levetach comfortably, and the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra explains that Binyamin was one of the few people in the history of the world that died without having done any Averis. Say the Mefarshim, normally when someone dies, if the person when he was alive was a person who had in himself jealousy, his bones rot at Smoysov in the coven. But Binyamin, who died without doing any Averis, Yishkoin Levetach, he could lie comfortably, and even if though he showed some sort of jealousy here, Yishka and Levetach, he doesn't have to worry because he died at Tzadik Gomer. But the high Tana suffer, but the Tana Kama holds, Lo Nischalka Yishlaim L'Shvatim. He also, Yishlaim wasn't divided among Shvatim. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Eim Askirim Batim Yishlaim Neshein Yishlaim. When people used to come to Yerushalayim to be oil regal, they had to have where to stay, and they stayed by people's homes. The people who have these guests are not allowed to rent out their homes, because they're not, the property doesn't belong to them. Yerushalayim belongs to all of us. Rav Lozmet, Sadek Laimir goes even a step further. Afloy Amitis. We're not allowed to rent out the property because it doesn't belong to us. But the bed, that doesn't belong, that belongs to the owner of the house. Says Rav Lozmet, Sadek, he's not allowed to even rent out the bed. Because since the bed is on property that he doesn't own, so he can't rent out the bed either. Lefikach, in compensation for not having guests in your home and not being able to charge rent, the fikach oiris kachim, the hides of the kachim that the oily regular would bring, the host would take by force. They are at least entitled to that much. Omer bai shmamina oruch ara, it's proper lemishbik inish, a person shall leave gulfa, a jug, umishcha, or hides of an animal, b'shpiza, he should leave over a gift for his host. There's an interesting machlokes rishonim, if this halacha is only applicable during the time of Shalosh Regalim, that one can't take rent, but the rest of the year somebody living in Yerushalayim can take rent for someone staying in his home, or is this a halacha any time during the year? Amar Rava, says Rava, the dinim that we learned in our Mishnah, lo shanu el shleimachus shivatuve ir b'maimin an shiir, that it wasn't sold by the board of directors in the presence of the people of the city. Avamachus shivat ir zayin tuve ir b'maimin shiir, it was sold by the board of directors with the consent of the city. Afilu lemishta beishikra, the proceeds can be used even to buy beer, because the halach is that those that that's the condition on which the Kedusha was chal. The halacha is that if there's a city without a board of directors, so there the halacha is that we just follow what the townspeople want, not no concern about the Zayin Tuvei Ir. The Rashba explains that when our Gemara talks about Shiva Tuvei Ir, it doesn't mean the seven most prominent people in the city. The Rashba says Zayin Tuvei Ir refers to the seven members of the board of directors who were appointed or elected to that position, irrelevant to what their status is. There's also an interesting shaila: what is going to be the halacha? Do you have to have the consent, unanimous consent, of all of the board of directors, or is a majority enough? The Bi'ah halacha says it depends on what the Constitution says. When the board of directors set themselves up, what was set up as the way it has to work? The Chasam Sofer says that generally we follow the majority. Ravina Havlai Hu Tila de Beknishta. Ravina had a heap of rubble which was left over from a shul. Asla Kameder of Ashi Amalei, he went and asked of Ashi, Mala Mizra, am I allowed to plant a field on the place which was originally a shul? Amalei, so he told him, Zil Zavne Meshivat Tuveir, Mamayman Anshiir, go buy it from the board of directors with the consent of the entire city. Then we know that the sale is a completely valid and complete sale, that Uzari, you could plant, you could do whatever you want on that area if it was sold under those conditions. Rami Bar Abba have a Barbani Bay Knishta. Rami Bar Abba was building a shul. Have a Knishta Tika, and there was an old shul that Rami Bar Abba wanted to replace with a new shul. Have a boiler mystery, so he wanted to demolish the old shul, Ulasuya Livnik Shurmina, and bring bricks and beams from the old shul, for Yulul Lahusam, and bring it into the new shul. Yosu Kambayle, Had Rav Chizda, he asked regarding what Rav Chizda taught us. Dam Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda teaches us, Lailista Beknishta, a person is not allowed to demolish an old shul, add the Bani Beknishta Chrita, until the new shul is standing. What's the reason Rav Chizda said this? Hasim b'mshir yosai, because we're concerned of negligence, that maybe he'll demolish the old shul and won't put up a new one. Kegavnamai, what's going to be halacha in this case? Where we're demolishing the shul with the specific purpose of putting up a new shul. What's the halacha? Asla kameid rapapa, he went to rapapa for asalei. He said it's prohibited. Kameid rav huna for asalei, and he said it's prohibited. And from here we see the halacha is that one may not demolish an old shul before the new shul is built. However, there are two interesting machlokes apoiskim. The Gemara Masechta Bava Basra says that if the old shul is structurally deficient, then we're allowed to demolish the old shul even before the new shul is standing. What's going to be the halacha, the machlokes apoiskim? If the old shul is structurally sound, but it's too small, all the people that are supposed to daven there, want to daven there, don't have room. Is that considered like it's not structurally sound? Machloikis hapoiskim. There's another machloikis hapoiskim, machloikis magen Avraham and Taz. What would be the halacha if we want to demolish the old shul to build a new shul, but it's in a town where there is another shul? Magen Avraham says that even though there is another shul in town, we're not allowed to demolish the old shul until the new shul replacing it is erected. The Taz disagrees, and he says that if it's in a town where there's another shul where the people could daven, in the meantime, we could demolish the old shul even before the new replacement shul is built. Amar Rava, hi, Beknishta, this shul, chiluf of a zivuna shari, to exchange it for another shul or to sell it for money is permissible. A gura or meshkuna, but to rent it or to mortgage it, it's asr. Why? Because there's nowhere where there's a transfer of the kedusha going, and therefore it's asr. My tama, but kedushas ikaimer. This remains in its sanctity, and you can't do it this way. Livni nami, the bricks of a shul. To barter them or to sell them, shari is permitted. Uzvinu, but to lend them is prohibited. However, says the Gemara, Hani mil betikta. This only refers to old bricks that were already used in the shul and now fell off from the shul. Abu Chadata, new shul, new bricks. They were only designated to be used to be built in the shul. Less lombard, this halacha doesn't apply. Cause. Afila mandam azmana milsihi. The Gemara, the Masechta Sanhedrin says, let's say something was designated to a certain purpose. Does it already obtain that status? Then there's one mandam that says that even designation gives something its halachic status. And the Gemara gives an example. That if somebody weaves tachrichim, prepares garments for nifter, that the halach is that anything that belongs to someone who passed away is osma, not may not be benefited from. So here, when these tachrichim were sewn and designated for a specific mace, even though they weren't yet used by him, they're considered like big day hamace. Here, it's only ketavi la'orig. It's only where somebody's making the wool. He didn't yet make the garment dummy, the lekleman dummer, and no one would consider that that designation has any halachic relevance, and therefore, these bricks can be used for any purpose. Matana. What about giving the shul to someone as a gift? Is that considered acceptable or not? Can the kedusha of the shul be lifted by that way? Says the Gemara, Pligi by Rav Ach of Ravina. Chad Osir, one man dama says it's Osir, another man says it's Mutar. Man Osir, the one that says it's Osir, because Bahai Tifki Kedusha Osir. What is there a transfer from the old Kedusha to the new Kedusha that it should be considered effective? Or mandashari, and the one that holds its mutter, ilav the havalei hanomine, if not that I had some sort of benefit, if not that the people of the town had some sort of a benefit from the people who they were giving this shul to as a gift, lo yaviyavle, they would never give away the shul as a gift, and therefore, had the havalei metonikus vina, so it's considered like a sale. We're getting something in return from the person who's receiving the shul, and that's why it's considered an effective sale that may be done. Tanar Rabbanan, tashmishei mitzvah. Items that are used for performance of a mitzvah, nizrakin, after they're used for the mitzvah, can be discarded. However, tashmisha kedusha, something which is not used for a mitzvah, but it's like an accessory to something kadosh, and the Gemara gives examples, nignozim must be buried. Veilein tashmisha mitzvah, what are items that are used for a mitzvah? Sukkah. So after sukkahs, a sukkah is no longer a sukkah. A lulav after sukkahs. Shofar after Rosh Hashanah. Tzitzis. All of them are considered tashmishei mitzvah and nizrakim. However, the Pais can point out, the Gemara does not use the word zorkim, that they may be thrown. It says nizrokim, they may be thrown away, but you're not allowed to specifically discard them in an irrespectable manner. That's why the halacha is that they should be still dealt with in a respectful manner. The Mishnah Berurah says, for example, if one's tzitzis tears, he should use the tzitzis as a bookmark in his sforim, instead of just throwing them away. Moreover, the Mefarshim point out that tzitzis should be, one should be very careful with tzitzis, not to let them go on the floor, because they are considered tashmisha mitzvah, and certainly while they're being used for mitzvah, must be treated with great respect. Vele tashmisha kedusha, what are considered items which are accessories to dvarim kedushim? The luskme svarim, sacks that were used to keep svarim in, tefillin umezuzas, or the sacks that were kept, the tefillin umezuzas were kept in, tiksha sefer Torah, and a case for Sefer Torah, Nartik Shal Tefillin, a case for Tefillin, for Tzuraseim, and the straps. The Nefesh HaChayim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, explains Tashmishay Kedusha, Nignozim. He explains, what's the difference? The Pasuk says, Kiner Mitzvah, V'Torah Or. The Mitzvah is considered like a Mner, which illuminates the area where it's lit. It doesn't spread its light further. Or represents a much higher level of illumination. Tashmishay mitzvah are like a ner. They don't have that high level of kedusha. However, tashmishay kedusha, which all the examples we just gave of tashmishay kedusha, refer to Torah. One who learns Torah is like a or, it's like an illumination, a very bright illumination that goes very, very far. And even after the person is not actually sitting and learning Torah, but the Torah's Torah or, it illuminates his life and it brings him schar and schusim forever and ever, the koyach of limud ha-Torah, of Divrei Kedusha. Amar Rava, Bereish Havamina, I used to say, Hai Kasaya, the spima on which the Torah is put when they read it, tashmish to tashmishu. It's not actually an accessory, it's an accessory of an accessory, because they actually put the Sefer Torah on a cover, and then the cover covers the bima. Vishari, and therefore it does not have the status of tashmish kedusha. Kiv the chazina, the maizvelei Sefer Torah, since I saw that sometimes they put the Sefer Torah directly on the bima without a cover on it, Amina Tashmish Kedusha Hu. So now I say that the bima has the exact status of a Tashmish Kedusha, V'osur, and it's prohibited to use it for anything that's not Kaddish. So the Sfas Emes makes an interesting observation. He says, here we have a bima, or a lectern, or where we put the Sefer Torah, Shtender. That's what's really supporting the Sefer Torah. Yes, we have a cover on it, but does that mean that the cover is really what's supporting the Sefer Torah? That we should say that the cover has the din of a Tashmish Kedusha, not the bima? Says the Sfas Emes that the Gemara is referring here to a bima that's not used on a constant basis for Sefer Torah. A bima that's used on a constant basis for Sefer Torah, certainly one cannot use, even if it has a cover, it's certainly a Tashmish Kedusha. Here we're referring that the Gemara thought that since it's not used on a constant basis, coupled with the fact that there's a cover on top of it, maybe it should not be considered Tashmish Kedusha. So the Gemara says it is still considered a Tashmish Kedusha. Interestingly enough, to note that I saw in the name of the Chazon Ish, and my Rebbe Reb Tovia Goldstein was makpid on this also, he says the people many times put on bimas that have a cover, different svarim, but it's used for Sefer Torah. So if it has the kedusha that it's used for Sefer Torah, how can we put on it different svarim? As we learned in our Mishnah, they are not the same level of a Sefer Torah. So the Chazon Ish said that what one should do is have a special cover for the bima that's used exclusively by Kriyas HaTorah, and that will be the Tashmish Kedusha of the Sefer Torah, and the rest of the time you can use the bima and the cover to put other svarim on it too. Rava Ravim, Reish Havamina, High Persika, the curtain that they, according to Rashi, is the curtain which was inside the Oren. tashmish hu. It's not considered the exact aron. It's only a tashmish of a tashmish. However, kiven the chazina the eifalei uman chesifrelei. Sometimes I see the people take the curtain and put the sefer Torah on it. I mean a tashmish kedusha hu v'asim. So Taisha says that we're not referring to the curtain inside the Aron. Taisha says we're referring to the curtain outside the Aron. The Mishnah Brura says that nowadays no one uses the curtains inside or outside the Aron to roll the Sefer Torah into it, and therefore that does not have, the Praichs do not have the status of Tashmish Kedusha. Interesting to note that I saw from the Machzik Bracha that let's say one has an Aron Kodesh, which is absolutely beautiful, beautiful woodwork. So he maybe considers not having a proiches because the wood is so beautiful. Says the Machzik Bracha, the way a shul is built is with an Aron Kodesh, and the way an Aron Kodesh is built is with a proiches. Ramosh in the Tshuva points out that there is a shaila if the proiches are made out of two pieces, and when you open them, letters are formed. There may be a shaila on Shabbos of opening and closing such proiches. So Ramosh says, but if you don't open it, or if you don't close it all the way, so when you open it or close it, it's not considered making letters. But interesting, Ramosh says that even if you won't have a problem with such a proiches of kaisiv on Shabbos, still says Ramosh, one should not use such proiches. The proiches should be used, the same type of proiches that Klal Yisrael has had for all its generations, which was one curtain, not a curtain made out of two pieces. Vamarava, hay tevusa de erfit, an aron that was used to, for the Sefer Torah that fell apart, me'avda tevusa zutrasi, to make it into a small aron that will be used only for one Sefer Torah shari, krusaya, but to make it for as a bimo, as a shtender also. Vamarava, hay priest of the kala, a curtain which was used around the aron hakodesh, le'mavda priest of sifri, to make it as a cover of the Sefer Torah itself. So that's taking it to a high level of Kedusha Shari. The Chumashim, but to make it to cover Chumashim, which are only different separate books that only have one-fifth, only one part of the Torah, is awesome. Vamarava, Hani Zvili the Chumashi, sacks that were used for single Sfarim of the Torah, for Kamti the Sefri, and cases that were used for Sefer Torah, Tashmish Kedusha Ninu, they have a status of Tashmish Kedusha, and Ignosim, they have to be hidden, buried. Ask them on Pshita. Answer the Gmamayu, Malatay Mahai Lav Lekvoid Avidim. They're not really made as for COVID, they're just made for practical purposes to have where to keep the Sefer Torah, and Latur Ba'alma Avida, and they should not have a din of Tashmish Kedusha, Kamashmon that they do. The shul of the Yehudim and Ramayim. Some say it was the shul built by the Romans for the Jews, or it was a shul and that the Israel, the Jews that came from Rome, davened it. That was open to a chamber, that a mace was laying in, and if a room is open to a room where there's a mace, Kohan cannot even be in the room that's open to the other room. And the Kohanim wanted to daven in the shul, they can't because it's open to a room where there's a mace. Also, Amalei LeRava. So they asked Rava what to do. Amalei Dula Tevosa, take the Aron Kodesh, the Sfuah, and put it in the doorway. It's a wooden utensil that's intended to remain stationary, and Aloch is the Kli Eitz Ha'osu L'Nachas Enim Kabel Tuma. It's not susceptible to Tuma, and anything which is not susceptible to Tuma, Chaitz B'fnei Tuma, could serve as a barrier before the Tuma. Omalei Rabbanu L'Rava V'zimna D'metatalei K'manach Sefer Torah Lei. Sometimes they would move the Aron Kodesh and keep the Sifrei Torah on top of it. V'avalei M'tatalei Moli V'rekam. So now it is something which is moved. So he said, Ihochi, if so, loy efshur, then you're not allowed, then this will not serve as a proper mechitza. The Rishonim point out, it's only if it's an Aron Kodesh that doesn't hold a boim saw. But any kli'etz, any wooden utensil that can hold a volume of 40 saw is never mekabel tumah. The Machz Avram says, based on this Gemara, we see that it is permissible if necessary, to move the Aron Kodesh. Some say that the Aron Kodesh may be moved only along the same wall where it was originally. Maksav Ram says that under specific necessary purposes, the Aron Kodesh can be moved in anywhere in the shul.